Love Talk Radio.
Amen. God bless you guys for joining us here at Harvest and Light Church and Harvest and Light Studio. We actually going to our next Thursday night word. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with me on the studio or in the studio this afternoon for those who are going to be calling in tonight and being a part of the program. We'll adjust my mic here as we get ourselves prepared to move forward. I want you to call in the area code 516-387-1220. Now, those of you who've been a part of the show, been a part of the program, pretty much know that this is just the way it is. And this is how Pastor Ellis runs his particular radio show here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studio. This is the Power to Harvest broadcast. And every Tuesday, well, most of you know who joins us, we have actually Tuesday night testimony. Tonight is Thursday night. We're actually going into the Word, and we're going to speak about some of the things that even that what will pretty much affect all of our lives. It's been men and women of God and doing the work of the kingdom. It's always something that's actually coming against us as being representatives of the kingdom. We're going to talk about some of the things and just kind of narrate some of the information that God has given us in terms of how we are and what we ought to look out for as we continue to go forth and continue to do this work as the kingdom of God. God has designed and engineered each and every one of us to be ambassadors. An ambassador. Let me say that. That even when you was gifted with the gift in you, God command you to be a light unto the world. That even as we come into the world, there are things that we actually find ourselves been entangled with, as the word God talks about in the book of Ephesians. He said, we all once walked the course of the world. We all had things in our life that wasn't right. We all had that spicy language. We all did things behind closed doors that wasn't pleasing to God. But God, who was rich in his mercy and grace, looked at us in the midst of where we are. I say, with our crazy selves. And now we come to the point now that God is about to elevate. He's already elevating us and brought us to the point to where we are right now. Blessed us every morning we raise up to see another day, which God has imputed to us, designed and engineered for us to be a part of. Now, here we are in a position as God begins to bring us together. It says in Psalms 133, how good is it? Notice what we're saying. How good is for men to dwell together in unity? Every part of the body of Christ is not designed to be separated. It's never been designed for every one of us to have what you call a better gift than everyone else. And before we get into the word, let's break up with prayer. And let's hear what the power of God is going to be speaking on this afternoon. As we deal with the area of Psalms 37, as the word of God declares, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He said, neither envious against the workers of iniquity. Father God, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Even as we move forward, Father God, we proclaim the word of God according to the Spirit. And Father God, even as we begin to open up, Father God, we ask you, Father God, to let us be that conduit on earth to bring forth the word to your people. Let it be solidified in the ears of the believer. We declare, we decline. We declare and we decree, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as we decline every negative spirit and every negative soothsayer to try to come against and stop that which you have given the mouth of the priest on this afternoon. Father God, I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, and now the word of God said that he who has an ear, let them hear not what this priest is about to say, but what the Spirit of God speaks to this mouth of clay. Father God, I declare, decree by the word of God and through the power and anointing of the apostolic faith that you move every obstacle out of the way to try to come against and stop that which you call your priest to speak in the season in which we end. Father God, even as we begin to move forward, Father God, even our personal life, Father God, we ask you to hedge us, protect us, and keep us, Father God, that as we seem to walk through what seems to be the shadows of the valley of death. Father God, you're not giving us the spirit of fear, but we've got the power to move, declare, and decree according to Romans 4:17, and speak and call things that be not what they were. Father God, you said you have given us power. You have given us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. And I decree by the word of God and by the power of the spirit, Father God, that you said in your word, according to Ephesians 1:21, you said, Father, every prince and every power, every dominion, not only named in this world, but everything that was to come. I decree in the name of Jesus that the word has got to go forth and it will not come back void, but it has already accomplished that and therein, according to the power that you have placed in the mouth of your priest in the season in which we end. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you that you called us to be ambassadors. You called us to be apostles. You called us to be prophets. You called us to be evangelists. You called us to be pastor teachers, that we're not to think of ourselves as being more high than we ought to think, but declare and decree by the word of God and by the power of the Spirit that you gave each and every one of us a measure of faith. Father God, illuminate that which is in us that we may move forth, that we may occupy the body in such a way, Father God, that we will blend, Father God, and move with authority, with force, with legions, Father God, according to the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you for this word that's coming forth tonight. I decree it, I declare it to be a third heaven word. That it's a word that's already went forth, and it will, and it shall not go back void, but it is already by the word of the mouth of the priests and the prophets, accomplish all that therein. These things I speak not of myself, but through the power and the amplifying and echoing word in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord, amen. We never like to just kind of go right into it. We like to give a lot of information about some of the things that we deal with in life. It's just been the man and woman of God, you know, coming against different kind of evil intentions and even kind of, you know, we talk about today, we talk about jealousy. You know, that's still a common thing today. You know, there are men and women of God in the body of Christ who don't feel great about the anointing of another man of God's life. And you just got to tell the truth about it. That's the way it is. We fight, we scratch, we kick, we bite. And the word of God says, according to the book of Galatians, be careful that you don't get devoured. That we ought to learn how to get along with each and every one of our fellow workers, as Paul said, in the body of Christ. We look at the word of God over here in the book of Psalms 37. It's an extraordinary word. It brings a revelatory thing that's going on today. It brings illumination to something that's going on right now as we begin to walk forth and do what God has called us to do. One of the biggest things I see in this very particular word of God, as we look over here in Psalms 37, it talks about the word frat. You know, frat is something that comes in each and every one of our lives, no matter how anointed you are, how saved you're supposed to be, how great you're supposed to be. Frat is a part of something when God's making you. You know, you talk about there's some fears in your life. Sometimes God got to show you, to sting you, to wake you up, to let you understand these are some obstacles that you got to work with in your life. Because if you don't, they'll cause you to be fearful. They'll cause you to be frightened. They'll cause you to be mentally discharged over what the power God has given you according to the Spirit. We're talking about the word of Jeremiah 1:5. The word of God declares and decrees that before you was born, you was created, you was designed, you was engineered. They be a workman of the kingdom of God. God gave you the ability to move forth. He told you in his word that everything he instilled in you is power. He given you the ability to speak and declare and call things to be not through what they were, knowing through him that everything and all things are possible. The word of God talks us, according to the book of Psalms. It goes over in areas, the book of Psalms. We kind of stay right here in Psalms 37. He goes to the book of Psalms over there in that 89th chapter, in that 34th verse. He talks about how he will not revert his covenants. He comes back over in Psalms 84:11. He says the very same thing. He said, no good thing will hold from those who walk upright. He gives a plain word and told the scripture that the faith and the power of God is right there in our lives. The Bible said the life and death is in the power of your mouth, in my mouth. Even it's in our mind that we understand and realize what it says in the book of Romans. Romans 12 tells us that Romans 12 tells us, I beseech you, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. You know, be not conformed to this world. He tells you right there, you're called to be ambassador. The things that God has given you is kingdom work. He gave you the mind to move, to orchestrate, to declare, decree, to speak and call things that be not what they were. That's the power God has given you, according to Romans 4:17. But when we think about the word fret, he said, fret not thyself. You know, it's not talking about anyone else. One of the things we got to really understand, and me myself has been a young man of God and coming to the ministry, some 18, well, I'm just going to let them, been saved over 21, but over 30 years, you know, over 30 years, been preaching the gospel really over 18 years, but only recognized for 11 of them, but that's fine with me because I'm not trying to gain accolades before men. But the word of God tells me that I'm not to fear of you, I'm not to be fearful of the ones who look at me as if I don't got what it take. I'm not to be fearful for those who are what we call evildoers or evil workers. The word of God declares the creed. I'm not to fret myself, listen here, because of evildoers. Now, he says something strong right there. When you look over in the very English Standard Version, he said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He said, be not envious. Be not envious. Be not envious of the wrongdoers. You're going to always have people that's going to come against you. Jesus Christ, Apostle Peter, Obadiah, David, you know, Saul. We see all this in the Word of God. So we as men and women of God, not to be fearful when it seems like things are coming against us. We have to stand firm in the midst of adversity. It thinks me about the Word when it tells me over in the book of Psalms 1. He said that, yea, though I walk through the shadows of the valley. Well, that's a good one, too. But he said that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel. See, when you begin to get yourself among people who think opposite of what the Word of God has put in them, you find yourself being divided from the Word of God. You find yourself letting everything and anything come into your life that God never designed and engineered to be there. He says in the book of Psalms 1, he said that if it serves me right now, I want to make sure I'm going to speak it because I know it's in my heart. The Word of God say that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now listen to what he says. Nor stand in the way of the sinner. Listen to how he says this. Now, when God tells you these things, he said it's a way that you begin to converse with things that's not pleasing to God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor stand in the way of the sinner, nor sit in the what seat of what the scoffer. But he talks about how he designed you to be delightful when you begin to obey his laws, that you meditate, as it says in Joshua 1:8, day and night, that God begins to grow you, not only even as a tree begins to grow itself with roots by what we've seen, the shoreline. It feeds itself on the very waters of the power of the Holy Spirit. In this particular verse, it talks about how God will strengthen you through the word, that you're called to be a branch. And as God begins to develop you, hold you, keep you, design you, engineer you, construct you, God will say you begin to flourish, that when you begin to flourish, you will grow and make other branches, which is called disciples. As the word of God tells me, when the man of God tells me over in Houston, Texas, Apostle Oscar Walker, that you're designed to make other branches. And as you make other branches, God is designed to prune those branches for what you call being disciples. Now, when you look at Oscar Walker's church in Houston, Texas, the Disciple Tabernacle, it's a disciple-making ministry. God designed us to make disciples. Saints are fine, but there's another level you got to go through. When you understand, you come to the altar, you be saved, and you ask God to forgive you for all your sins, that's a repentance of sin. But God said, now you got to be filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. But let me get back to this word dealing with the area of Psalms. I want to make sure I speak clearly about this area of the book of Psalms, chapter 1. For those who want to call, just want to roll over to Psalms 1, we're teaching tonight. We're talking about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that's designed in our life to orchestrate and come against anything that's any outside force that may try to come against us. Because we are designed is to be workmen of the kingdom of God. We're designed and engineered to be overtakers of the kingdom of God. As it says once again, in cohesiveness, Psalms 37, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to how he says this. Nor stand in the way of the sinner. Notice what he's saying. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, when God begins to rule, reign, design, and engineer you, he tells you that the delight is in the law. There's a law that God gave you to meditate on day and night. The word of God gave them a law when it was out in the area of the wilderness. They was taught about the area of the Levitical priesthood. They was taught how to carry themselves now as being men of God, of the kingdom of God. He says once again, you look at Psalms 1, not forsaken as it says with Psalms 37, but he says in Psalms 1 and verse 2, but this delight, when you talk about being in the delight of the Lord, it's talking about sharing the inspiration of God and the blessings of God. When we take our Bibles, we flip over here and we look at some things over in what we call the Amplified Classic Edition. When the Word of God talks in verse 2, he talks like this. He says in a way, he says that let's look for verse 1 on down, because verse 1 is going to be a lot. I want to go back through the verse 1 of Psalms 1, and I want to make sure we get a real good understanding of what God is talking about in terms of how we're supposed to carry ourselves as being men and women of God. First of all, we want to go back for new callers to come in. We see a lot of our international team coming in. We know you came in kind of late, but God bless you. You're here. It's better not to be here than you know, be late. I'd rather for you to be late than not to be here, because God is speaking some things in this season which you're in about coming together as a group. We talked about in the book of Psalms 37. He said, fret not thyself. We worked on the area of fret. The word fret that causes a lot of the things in people's lives to stop receiving the blessings that God has in store for them, because they get all twisted and tangled of what people think or what people say about them. And God never designed you to worry about what's on the left and to the right. He designed you to move forward. He designed you to stay in your lane. So he says in Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither envy ourselves because of the workers of iniquity. He said they will soon be cut down like the grass and withered as the green herb. Now, when you go back over here to the book, as we talk about in the area of Psalms 1 in coalition, if you can catch the revelation, most people can't, but because they got book education. They don't got revelation. They want to go by what the book says and what the man taught them to say. But when you stay before the presence of God, God will give you full field illumination. Now, he says over in Psalms 1, in the Amplified version, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, inevitable is the man that walketh and live not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's notice what he says. Following their advice in their plans and their purpose, nor stand submissive and inactive in a path of where sinners walk, nor sit and relax and rest. Am I there? Where the scoffer and the mocker gathers. Now, the word of God said that I'm not to fret myself because of the evildoers, those who come against and feel as though on the educational level or on the degree level, they got just a little bit more than you. Because the last time I recall that Peter, James, and John didn't go to nobody's university, and they received nobody's scholarship, but they all walk with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God tells me that the Holy Spirit will teach you, and it will guide you, and it will lead you into all truth, as we understand and realize, but the power of God is speaking to us on the night. He goes over in Psalms 37. He said, for thou shalt soon be cut down like the grass that withers as green herbs. The word of God declares and decrees, trust in the Lord. Proverbs say, lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all his ways, and he will direct your path. That's the power of God giving you all the things you need to fight in the battle that's coming against you. He says in the book of Luke 10 and 19, just basic scriptures, he said that the word of God tells us that we are designed to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy. He gives us the protection through the word of Ephesians 1 and 21. He said, from of all princes in power and dominion, not only named in this world, but everything that which is to come. As we go back in the area of Psalms 37, we begin to look at the first verse of Psalms 37. He said, fret not thyself, listen here, because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. When people come against you, the Bible says, pray for those who despitefully use you. As we look at some of the areas of the Adam Clark commentary breakdown, the words say, fret not thyself because of evildoers. It is as foolish as wicked, responding and envious of those who prosper. What is he saying? You're not to be responsible to those negatively who's prospering. The Bible declares and decrees, when you think about this particular commentary and the Adam commentary breakdown, it brought really some solidification and some revelation to me how God has really designed me to move even farther as long as I keep the negativity out of my mind about what another man God has to say or another man or woman has to say according to me. You know, don't worry about them. Your job is to get on the track and run your lane. Some people feel that they're doing great work because they got a lot of things going on around them. They got all kinds of slogans. They got all kinds of different books and writings. There's nothing wrong with that. But then again, you got to understand, where is the healing in the name of Jesus? Where is the power in the midst of all that you're doing? Have you raising people from sickness? Are you calling heart disease to be healed? Are you calling thyroids to be able to heal in the life of the body of people? Or are you just giving them a lot of inspiration and what you call feeling that you call the work of the kingdom? Sometimes you can make a whole lot of noise, but you ain't going nowhere. There's an old saying, so you're just talking loud and you ain't saying nothing. You got multiple events and things that's going on, but there's no power. People are drawn by the oratorical form of your skills and words, but there's no power. The word of God, if I may go back over here to the book of and it serves me right, I want you to just roll over here with me over to the book of let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, we're staying in Psalms 37 because we want to deal with this and we want to break it down to a point that you can really understand it. I really appreciate you guys from coming in from different areas of the country, different areas of the city. God bless you. We thank you guys for being with us tonight. It's always a pleasure. I want to welcome our Northern land, the man of God that's out there that's listening to us. We got about 1% listeners out there, and he's probably one of the one in the northern lands out there. It's close to the Indian area, and we thank him for being with us on tonight. But we want to look at something here once again. We want to go into the area of, we want to look at the book of 1 Corinthians. We want to take 1 Corinthians, we want to go over to the 13th verse. Most of you know where I'm going. You already pretty much know it. The word of God said, though I speak. Now, this is the men of God who look at themselves as being a little bit more than they ought to be. The Bible said, though I speak with the tongue of a man and of an angel, but I have not charity. Am I there? Because I'm as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. Notice what he says. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries of all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but I have not charity, I am nothing. He comes back and said, although I bestow all the goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned. That means those who work so hard and do all the work, and they want people to look at them by the good works. They will look at all the things that they're doing. They will look at all the writings that they do. They will look at all the slogans and all the programs they put on. But ain't nobody being healed. Ain't nobody calling in and tell you how the power of God moving in life. How they went to the hospital the other night after you prayed a fervent prayer of a righteous man that availed much. And they begin to tell you, when the doctor took my blood pressure, it said I didn't need no blood pressure pills no more. The doctor looked at my thyroid and said, well, I don't know what happened in the midnight hour, but God done a magnificent surgery on me. I don't need all of that stuff no more. All the things you're doing, it just sounds good, but it has no power. You draw men with degrees and all these things that you have in your background, but you have no power. All Corinthians 13 is telling you that. You got the education of our Apollos, but you ain't got no power. You have no revelatorial apostolic in you. You talk real good, but there's nothing moving. You talk good how you feel, but there's nothing moving in you. Am I there? No, you don't want to talk to me because I want to tell you the truth. The Bible says over here in 1 Corinthians in the 13th chapter, in the 4th book, charity suffers long. Am I there? It is kind. Charity envieth not. That's what the word of God says over in the book of Psalms 37. Fret not thyself because of what the evil doeth. Now envy ourselves because of the workers of iniquity. The power of God been moving through the very long suffering and is kind and charity. Envy not. Charity venteth not itself. It puffeth itself not up. It don't make of himself a man more. That's what the book of Galatians says. You ought to not think of yourself as being more high than you ought to think. The Bible doesn't say you can't think, but you think it, can't think high, but you ought to might think more high. Ain't nothing wrong with you getting where you want to be. But when you begin to look down on other individuals on your same team, is if they ain't got what it take to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. You done already begin to go backwards on whatever God has designed you to do. You keep on casting people off. You keep on throwing people away as if they don't mean anything to you. You're more concerned about what you got to do rather than God is putting you to help those. The Bible declares you ought to be a lifeguard for the people. When you understand the principles of a lifeguard, when you get up on a high chair and you've been looking over all the people that's out there swimming, your job is taking an oath as being a lifeguard is to look over everybody who's drowning to make sure everybody's having a nice time. But even when we look at men and women, God in the body of Christ, we begin to pass right by the very people that's drowning, and we don't know how to give them the very proper resuscitation that they need, that they may get back on line with God. We keep on pumping what we know and what we think. The Bible declares and decrees, as though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries, but the knowledge and I have that I could remove mountains, but charity have I not. If you don't begin to look at the people that are around you, and you don't begin to be the lifeguard that God called you to be in the season which you're in, God said, whatever it is that you're doing ain't gonna prosper. You may get accolades from men, you may get approval from people, but if you don't set back and look what God has called you to do in the season in which you're in, a lifeguard is designed to resuscitate you. It's designed to pull you out of deep water. It's designed to warn you when you're going in the dangerous ground. It's designed to make you more than what God called you to be, but you keep on looking at man to put you up. You keep on looking at the physical form, but God is trying to get you to understand something, that you ought not to flat yourself against evildoers, nor humble yourself because of the workers of iniquity. God is trying to get a word to you in the season which you're in. But you keep on looking at what you feel is right. You keep on putting down other things around you that God's trying to show you. The very thing you think at least about is what the thing is going to bless you. You're trying to go to elevated heights, but you don't know how to build a ladder. You keep on clamoring on the backs of people what they say by the DRs in their name, by the Bs in their name, by the As in their name. Y'all know, by the Ps in their name, by the Es in their name. But God said, it's not a name that's going to get you in the kingdom, because I'm the God of some above all names. I sat high and I looked low. I'm the one to bring up kings. I'm the one to put kings down. Unless you bow down and understand that who I am, that I'm God Almighty, you by no means receive the things I have in store for you, because your attitude. You don't know how to treat people right. You become too wisdom. You become the Apollos in the season that you're in. You don't understand the word of God. When Paul began to declare and decree over in the book of Acts, the Bible said he came through the upper coast of Ephesus. And on the time, there was Apollo that was there. But on his way going to the area of the upper coast of Ephesus, he came down to the valley in the area of Corinth. And he began to see some men coming down called disciples, he called them. And he said he came down and he asked them, he said, what have you believed in since you've been saved? Or what have you been baptized with since you believe? The man said, we ain't even heard so much as about the Holy Spirit. You need to go over to Acts 19. You need to read what God is telling you in the season. It brings a lot of clarity and revelation to what God is trying to get you to see, that who you are. Unless you engulf with the power of the Holy Spirit, all your knowledge and all your wisdom, according to 1 Corinthians 13, can't save you. You can puff up before man all you want. But you got to understand, unless you begin to walk with signs, wonders, and miracles, and the power of God, do demonstration. Jesus declared in the book of Matthew 15, when he looked upon the people, he had mercy upon him. And he began to pray and began to heal people. The word of God declared that when he came over to the pool of Bethesda, there was a man who was there in 3 and 8 years. But as he lied there 3 and 8 years, the Bible declared, even before you looked at, he said there was a pool there, that when everybody who got into the water at a certain time, when an angel came down to trouble the water, they was made whole from whatever disease they had in their life. You got to get out of the position of being like the man who was there 3 and 8 years. And when it seems like the very water's been troubled around you, and it don't look like you can take the information from the very man that God has put in your life to help you to move forward, you denounce the prophet, you put him down on the educational level, you put him down because they don't have more accolades and people around them that you need. He don't have large crowds and large following. But let me tell you something about Naaman. When he went to go talk to the man Elijah, when Elijah began to come out of the tent, he told him, do one thing, go dip. And the man of God began to put all kind of havoc and chaos about why he couldn't go dip in the very water that the man of God told him to dip. It wasn't about how cleansed the water was. He just disobeyed the word of the prophet to go and do it. And this is a season where we're in right now, where we begin to find ourselves not following the laws and rules and regulations of God, and we keep wondering why we're suffering and where we're going. We start up this and we start up that. We don't know if we want to start it or stop it, But I'm telling you, here at Harvest New Light Church and Harvest New Light Studios, we just keep on pushing. The right push. As the home says, old song says, you got to keep on pushing. You got to keep pushing. Despite what men say and what they look at you. Because God said, if you learn to stay in your lane and do your work that I call you to do. It's amazing to me when you own a part of a summer organization or a squad of football, basketball, whatever it may be, and you begin to get out of line and don't want to play your position like you're supposed to play it. And then all of a sudden, God began to pull your ragged stuff out of the lineup and set you down for a while, and you begin to complain, and you want to get up, and you want to transfer and go to another team. But if you understand why God pulled you out and set you down, it's to give you revelation in the season that you're in. It's a lot of times that in this ministry, God had to set me down to get me to understand the realize he's taking me to another level as I'm doing right now. But as people that God has put around you, and God will begin to show you the type of people they are. Because sometimes you're going to another level, man of God. You can't take everybody with you. Sometimes you get weighted down by the people and the words that they say. But you got to know how to escape the very thing. But what you call the fratten of those who evil do, or those who look at you in such a way that you ain't got what it takes to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. I believe I'm speaking to somebody on this afternoon. The word of God declares on Psalms 37, he said, trust in the Lord and do good. Sometimes when you're going through the midst of adversity in your life, it's good for you to get down on your knees and talk to God about it, because can't no man bring you out. Sometimes God will separate you from all mankind to get you to understand and realize that he's trying to talk to you, that he's trying to give you a word that's coming from the kingdom of God. But somehow you keep on running after man to get the things you need. You keep on running after man to try to elevate you and put you to where you need to be. The word of God does declare it's good to be around a pearl, but you don't praise a pearl in the name of Jesus. You got to get down on your knees and begin to talk to God about the gift that he put in you. It reminds me of the word over there in the book of Samuel, when Samuel, the son, the man of God, kept on coming to him and said, Daddy, did you call me? No, I ain't called you. And the man got up again. Samuel went back and called. Did you call him? He said, no, I ain't called you. But he gave him a revelational word. The next time you hear the call, you say, Lord, here I am. Sometimes you got to ask the Lord, say, here I am, Lord. And stop looking at other people to put you up to make you feel good. But what God has already put in you. The Bible declares, according to Jeremiah 1 and 5, before you was born, created, designed, engineered, and structured in the belly of your mother. God called you to be a prophet and ambassador before the nation. You need to get around somebody not going to try to speak a gift in you, but recognize the gift that you got and understand that you realize they got to shape you to make you match the gift that you have, that you to move forward. The word of God declares, according to the book of Jeremiah 18, he said, you need to go down to the potter's house. And you look at the clay that's in the potter's hand and then marred, can I do with you what I will? Sometimes we get tired of God shaping and forming us because we too hard-headed the way the instruction that God give us. We can hear from everybody else but God. I got a mentor. I got a spiritual father in my life. I got a spiritual this in my life. I got a spiritual that in my life. But what did God tell you and what you are in? You're so messed up and corrupted in your thinking. You got to look at the other man to give you what they got the wisdom. What God said, if any man lack it, ask God. He'll give to you liberally everything that you need. It amazes me that when men begin to look at you in such a way that God never designed you to go forth what he put in you. The word of God tells us over in that particular third verse of Psalms 37. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Thou dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. Am I there? Let me show you some. See, I believe God is speaking tonight for those who have an ear to hear. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. When we take our word and we begin to go over the book of Genesis. Now, I want to show you something in the book of Genesis. If you want to roll over there with me, you can if you have. But, you know, just like I say, those who call in tonight, you're more welcome to call in. Because I take a very short interruptional break here in the very word. And remember to call in tonight. It's 516-387-1220. I open to all callers, all words. But you got to realize and understand that when you come in here, don't come in here with no stuff. Don't come in with no crazy stuff, because we ain't playing it up over here. You can come with all your degrees and all you want, but if you don't come with a humble mind to understand what God is doing in the season we're doing, we don't want to hear it. We got a whole lot of book knowledge in the body of Christ about what they say from a historical. I want to hear some revelation. I remember the word of God, and then before I get over here to the book of this next chapter that I'm speaking to the Lord, it kind of slipped my mind. Before I get over here, it's going to come back to the book of Genesis. We're going to go in the book of Genesis. We're going to be over before the book of Genesis. I remember the word of God speaking clear to me. He said, never cut what you can untie. And that thing ran with me for a long time. Now, didn't no man give all that. God gave that information. to be heard. Never cut what you can untie. I can honestly look back, and I can look back over the time that in the course of this ministry, in the course of God had to really release some things and bring some things in. And I understood if you are a man in the body of Christ and you're struggling, you better be real careful about who you attach yourself to. Because there's some people who don't care nothing about themselves. They'll let you drag them. They'll drag you around everywhere. And they won't even try to help you get to where you're going. I believe I'm speaking to somebody, but the word of God said, if you got to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. There's people that look at you as if you ain't got what it takes. You don't have the crowd. You don't have the degrees. You don't have the nice choosing words that make everybody feel good, jump and shout, and just a feeling. You don't have all that. So they look down on you as if you ain't got what it takes, but they don't know you're trained by the Holy Ghost. They give you whatever you need, and he'll give you the words you need to say, the time you need to say it. It brings me over to the book of Genesis. And I look at the book of Genesis. It takes me to think about some of the things that happened with this man of God over in the book of Genesis. And on that 26th chapter, it reads over in the 26th chapter, and it says that I'm gonna get a little ahead of y'all. I'm gonna go on down to the book of Genesis. I'm gonna move this a little quick. The Bible declares in Genesis 1 and 26. He said, there was a phantom in the land. Now, notice what he says. There was a phantom in the land besides the first phantom in the land. Did anybody catch that? Sometimes things look so corrupted and so messed up in your life that you begin to look at the physical, rather than look at the spirit. And you begin to find yourself being tossed and turned by those in Psalms 37. As the word of God said, you not to worry about them because they're trying to hate on you and put you down for what God is getting you to go anyway. He said, fret not thyself because of the evildoer, nor envy thyself because of the workers of iniquity. The Bible says a time is going to come in their life that I'm going to show you, declare, decree the word of God, that all those who came against you and the way they came against you, I'm going to have to deal with them. Matter of fact, you got to be able to turn them over to the hands of the Lord anyway. Let them people go on and do what they want to do because they want accolades from man rather than God. The Bible declared that in the midst of the devil phantom was over there in Genesis 26. They said unto Amalek, the king of the Philistines, unto Gar. And the Bible said the Lord appeared unto him and said, go down to Egypt and dwell in the land, and I shall tell thee of the, I will tell of thee, sojourn in the land. Stay there for, dwell in the land for a while. Just sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee. Now, he didn't say he's not going to be with you. He said, I will be with you in the midst of the phantom. I'm going to be with you through your hard times when it don't seem like things moving for you. He said, go there and sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. I will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed, and I will give thee the countries, and I will perform an oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. See, what you got to understand about the word of God, that even when people don't look at you as if you ain't got what it takes, you got to hold on to what God told you. You got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I remember reading a book over here that my apostle gave me down in Houston, Texas. My apostle, who's been with me over 12 years, taught me, trained me, designed me. Says a lot of men gonna come in your life that they ain't gonna want nothing. They really come in your life to try to divert the very anointing that God has in your life, but you move forward. He gave me this book some years ago, and I happened to pull it out today, and I was reading it over in the book. I was reading over today, and it's a book by George Berner, and it's called The Power of the Vision. And it's on the picture of the book, it's a man looking through some powerful telescopes. When you begin to look at a vision, you can't look to the left or look to the right. You got to focus inside those telescopes to beam in on what you're beaming in on. Sometimes your faith got to be like a laser beam. You got to stay focused on what God has called you to be focused on. The Bible said he told the man of God, he said, go sojourn in the land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. Unto the city, I will bless thee for unto thee and unto thy seed, and I will give thee the countries I have performed an oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. Whenever God makes you a promise, the enemy gonna come at you. He's going to come at you more ways than you think he can come at you. He's going to come at your family. He's going to come at you through your friends. He's going to come at you through your sisters and brothers. He's going to come at you all kinds of ways. But I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you got to stand firm in the midst of your adversity. The word of God declared and decreed over in Genesis 26 in the fourth verse. I know I'm taking a lengthy time here, but I'm going to take the long way around because I'm about to bring you back and show you what the power of God is doing in your life and the season that you're in. The word of God says on Genesis 26 in verse 4, he said, I will make thee the seed to multiply. Keep that in mind. I will make thee the seed to multiply. Only if I obey the first three verses of this particular Genesis 26. It's called obedience. Don't get, look, he told you, don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. There's going to be many a man of God going to come your way. Let me speak to you for a minute. There's going to be many men of God and women of God going to come your way to throw you off the course of what God designed you to be in. They're going to come with all kind of skills. They're going to come with all kind of plays. They're going to come with all kind of so-called performance. But I'm telling you, man and woman of God, you got to stand firm in the midst of what God has called you in the season which you're in. The Bible tells you, am I a God that I should lie? Am I a son of any man that I should have to repent? I've been given a command to bless, and I can and will not reverse it. God said, I'm going to give you a sure word that comes from the kingdom of God. I remember the man of God down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, by the bishop named Bishop Raymond Johnson. He always heard a word. He always said that if for him that believe, all things are possible. God is speaking a word over to this brother over here, over here in Genesis 26. That brother Isaac, he said, I will make the seeds to multiply in the fourth verse as the stars of the heaven, and I will give you unto the seeds of the country, and our seeds shall be the nations of the earth be blessed, because Abraham obeyed what the voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. Same thing he told him in Deuteronomy 8, don't you forget who brought you into the land. Sometimes you get to a position in your life, it don't seem like nobody's there with you. But I'm telling you, man and woman, God, you got to learn how to stand firm. You got to stand on the promises of God and the word he told you in the season that you're in. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of all of these who are coming around you, hating and talking about you and putting you down. They may be speaking behind closed doors and saying all kind of negativity things about you, but God hear every one of their voices. When you read the word over in Amos chapter 9, he tells you, though you hide in the mountains, though you hide in the very seas, I will cause the serpents to come out and bite you. God said, my God is like an eye and an optical. I see all and I hear all. God will bring everything negative to the light. You got to believe and understand that you got to cast all your cares on Christ because he the one to care for you. The word of God says over there in the fifth verse, when you look at Genesis 26, over the sixth verse, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. And Isaac dwelled in God, and a man new place asked him of his wife. Now let's go on down to the eighth verse. And it came to pass when he had long time in Amalek, the king of the Philistines, looked in the window, and he saw, behold, Isaac sporting Rebekah, his beautiful wife. Sometimes people look at the love like the beautiful wife. I got a darling, a beautiful woman of God. They don't like what you had. They wish they can have the kind of relationship you have. They wish they can have the kind of communication they have with your wife and his wife. But see, God is trying to get you to understand. They hate you just because you got something real good. They hate you because you got everything prospering for you. They don't like it. They want to see you come down. They'll send spies on every direction to try to look upon you to make you feel other than what God is planning to do. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible declares, then Amalek called Isaac, and behold, we're in the ninth verse, behold, of the certainty, she was thy wife. And I said that thou shalt be my sister. And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I lie, lest I die for her. And Amalek said, what is this that you have done unto us of the people? Yeah, they might have lied with you, laid down with the wife, you understand, lying with thy wife. And I should have brought guiltness upon us. And Amalek charged all the people. Thus going down, he charged all the people. Let's be coming through this. Kind of get on through this a little bit, but I'm going to get to the nitty gritty of this. But he charged all the people that don't touch this man's wife. And you go down to the 12th verse of Genesis 26. I'm trying to get you to see something. And Isaac sold in the land. Let's look at the 11th verse for a minute. Let's go back. And Amalek charged the people, saying, he that touches this man or his wife should surely be put to death. Are y'all catching that? See, God called y'all to be a lot of Amaleks, a lot of Isaacs. But y'all keep on letting people come in and distort your life. The Bible tells you in Psalms 37, fret not thyself because of the evildoer. Don't look at the people who talk about you and put you down. God is going to deal with them. All your job is to do is to move forward. Your job is to be the conduit in the season that you're in. Let them keep on running their mouth behind closed doors and saying all kinds of things about you. Because if God sees everything that's going on, what you got to do is pray for those who despitefully use you, who put you down to make you feel other than what God has called you to be. The word of God declares and decrees that Amalek said, don't you touch this woman, God, in the 11th verse, or her husband. And he says over in the 12th verse, then Isaac sold in the land and received in the same year. Am I in there anywhere? Isaac sold in the land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The Bible said in the 13th verse that he waxed great, and with 40 grew until he became very great. Study anointing him. The Bible said he had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great stores of servants. And the Philistines, what did they envied him. I'm telling you something, man of God. When you start going up, when God begin to start blessing you, they'll look at you as if you ain't got what it take. They'll say all kind of negative things. They'll spread a rumor about you. Well, don't let him speak in your house. Yeah, I used to deal with him a long time ago. He this, or he that, or she this, or she all that, and this and every other thing. They lying. The Bible said their mouth becomes like an open sculpture. They begin to say things in such a way that they feel they're going to put you down. But God said, let me tell you something, man and woman of God, though you go through the shadows of the valley of death, you may not fear no evil because a rod of God that comforts you. God will lead you in the midst of everything. He'll let your enemies see you go up. The Bible declares the creed. He'll set a table before the presence of your enemy. There's too many things that we're seeing right now that we're worrying about. We're not focused on the word of God and doing what God called us to do. Sometimes you got to learn to stay in your lane. You got to shake off all the haters and keep on moving. The Bible said, according to the word of God, that you said you got to delight yourself in the book of Psalms 37:4. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Don't worry about things that's going on around you, but trust in God. Proverbs 3:5, and lean not to your own understanding. But you got to learn how to acknowledge God in all his ways, and then he will begin to direct your path. You got to believe and declare and decree that even in the midst of adversity, God has got his hands around you, protecting you, moving you, and everything. He's just like a chess mover. He knows the way he's calling you to go. He knows the way he's about to move you. He knows all the plans he got in store for you, but you got to believe and trust. As the word of God says in Psalms 37:5, he said, commit thy ways. It's a difference when you learn how to commit. Commitment is a very good, is a very powerful word. Commit thy ways unto who? The Lord. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. What shall he bring it to pass? Y'all go to Psalms. Y'all go to Psalms 84:11. Y'all, somebody come with me to Psalms. If you ain't got to go there, I'm just in the name of Jesus. I'm gonna tell you what they say. The Lord said, "Go to Psalms 84:11." I want to show you something. Psalms 84. Now, let's go to Psalms 89. Let me see how God makes it very clear about he's got a sure word that comes from the kingdom of God. And I'm gonna back it all up. I'm gonna show you what the word of God says. The word of God says in Psalms 89. Go down to the 34th verse. Y'all listen to this now. The word of God says in Psalms 89:34, my covenant. Let's look at the 32nd verse. Then I will visit the transgressors with the rod. Those ones who are coming against you. Those ones who are talking about you. Those ones who are putting you down behind closed doors. Then I will visit the transgressioner with the rod and the iniquities with stripes. Got to whoop your enemies. Just turn them over to the Lord. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will not what utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Look what it says in the 34th verse. My covenants I will not break, nor alter the things that I go out of my lips. Let me show you something here, how God performs everything he said he's going to do with the people over here. In the book of Deuteronomy, you go to the book of Deuteronomy, you go down here to the book of Deuteronomy. Let me move here, but we'll be moving real good here as we settle in with the word. Go to the book of Deuteronomy for those who want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. For those who don't, then, hey, you know, that's really on you, because my job is just like a radio. You can turn it any dial you want. You can come in, you can go off. It don't really matter to me. It really does that you hear the word of God, but you got to understand that God called me to bring forth the word. Whether you dial into the station and dial onto it now, it's still going to play. It's always there for you to hear 24 hours a day. All you got to do is tune in and hear what the word of God has to say that's coming from the kingdom of God. Look over in the book of Deuteronomy. And we know the Deuteronomy, I like to say about the book of Deuteronomy, it was like a revised covenant. Well, Pastor Ellis, why did you say it was a revised covenant? Because the first covenant failed because of rebellion. When God brought the men of God up out of Egypt, they had an Egypt mentality. God showed them all the signs and wonders and miracles, but they still rebelled even when they got to the very land to go into the promise. The Bible sent down the spies, and they came back, and they came against those men of God. But Caleb and Joshua stood firm. And the Bible said, if we possess the land, let's go in. Then the men raised up their voice against them, and that was the end of it. God began to let them go in the wilderness and let them run around there from 39 and 40 years. And everywhere they went, there was a hump in the ground. There was a burial everywhere they went. Every day somebody got, that was about the longest funeral you ever saw in your life, ever heard of your life. That God buried all them people out there in the desert. But he stopped the biting of the serpent when he told Moses to put the very serpent on the stick and bronze it. And we begin to see the serpent stop biting. The serpent stopped biting. God began to let those who are 21 down live. But God calls them to bring it to the second covenant, which you look in the book of Deuteronomy. But look over that verse 8. You can read, start really with your own time. You can really read the book of Deuteronomy on to the 8th verse. You see the power, the fighting. And all. When you think about the book of Deuteronomy, it really didn't take about 30 days. When you look at all the events and the things that took place, they were fighting every day. But God said, all the lands they conquered, God said, no, that ain't yours. But when it got to over there to where they're supposed to be, and the Bible said, all the commandments, he said, this is your land. He said, all the commandments which I can commanded thee, so she observed to do, that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land which the Lord swore. Remember he says in Psalms 89 and 34, my word I have sworn to you. I will not revert my covenant. God is asking you to keep your oath, keep the commands. Hear what the word of God is saying. Keep your mouth off of folk. Pray for people who despitefully use you. The Bible says he swore unto your fathers, and he said, thou shalt remember all that which the Lord thy God has led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. Sometimes God take you through some stuff to humble you. You don't know why you're going through stuff. But sometimes it's like you got an illness in your body, got a sickness on you. But God said, I'm taking you to humble you, to see what's in you. Who are you going to depend on? Paul begged God all the time about that thorn. He said, but my grace is sufficient. I mean, he didn't, don't worry about it, Paul. A lot of us got thorns, but we're ashamed of the thorns. The Bible says there's sickness on you. In the book of James, call for the elders of the church. And they pray over you and anoint you with oil. Sometimes this sickness or the thorn in your body can get to the point it can overwhelm you. It's like you get stuck with something, and all of a sudden it starts spreading. Once you pull the thorn out, it leaves an after effect where it starts spreading and becomes a sore, and it begins to get bigger, and you don't know why it's getting bigger. But if you don't put the right kind of ointment or the right kind of treatment on it, it cannot by no means heal. That's how God is telling you. You got to be able to heal. That's why the word of God declares, decree, never cut what you can untie. Sometimes you got to go back and you got to apologize. You got to talk to people about the things that you have done with them and the things they have done to you. Sometimes you got to learn how to be the bigger person. And you got to apologize to people and tell people, hey, look, I mean, man of God, yada, da, guludu, whatever, you know, I'm sorry. And then this is it is. You got to just tell them. And then you got to leave it right there. Don't feel envious about them. If they get back with you, if they don't, it's a lot of times, I believe, through this ministry, a lot of men of God has lost a lot of things that God has in store for them, but they keep on pushing forward from a physical standpoint of view. They're going to look for men to put them up. That's right. God will give you what you want. Yahweh saw, but is it of God's desire? Is it of his will? He'll give you what you want. You see men going around doing a lot of things, and they depend on men to keep it going. The word of God said, unless I build a house, and he don't mean no stones and bricks either. God got to make you first before he build a building. Before you draw people to you, because you got to be a light. And when you don't know how to be a light before the kingdom of God, guess what? You're just going to fall. You're just going to be just a person. You're just spinning your wheels. You ain't going nowhere. But it's always a blessing for you guys to be with us here as we go back over to Psalms 37 about the end of this service out for those who want to call in the end of this very service today. If they have questions, no matter who you are, where you're calling from, we thank God for you being here. But he goes on down here in Psalms 37, and he talks about the process of the A verb. He says, cease from anger. The biggest thing that kills a lot of us. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself. And wise and do evil. Don't do that. Look, get the anger. See, anger opens up doors for the enemy to come in. It opens up all things for the enemy to come in. It opens up all kinds of desires for the enemy to come in. The Word of God says in verse 8 in the Amplified Version, he said, refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself, fret not yourself, and tend only to evil. Look, fret not thyself. It tends only to evil. When you get flustered, it opens doors for the enemy to come in. They begin to ricochet around in your mind what this person said or what this person done, yada, yada, whoop to do. The devil was a chairperson of the covenant. He knows how to get to you. But the Word of God said you fight not against what? Flesh and blood. But against spiritual wickedness in high places. Galatians tell you, look, walk in the spirit that you won't fulfill the lust and the desires of the flesh. Because the flesh is it's going to be a fight. Lust against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. God bless you guys for being with us here at Harvest Right Church. I want to see that out of all the people on the line, I got one recognition. Most of the girls are coming from Aspen, different countries. They number lights up in all zeros in the process of them very coming in and trying to get a hand in and have something to say. It's almost impossible because of the kind of system they're rolling with out there. If they got a regular number, they paid and called it. It costs them money to call in. But, you know, never the same. But we always got a man of God here that I know that's always been a part of our shows, been working with us in terms of what we're doing here at Harvest Light Church. And that's the man of God out of Saginaw, Michigan, Elder Kerry Williams. We thank him for being with us tonight. And we're going to hold on a second, Mr. Miller. Allergies. We want to make sure we want to give him a chance. Excuse me. We want to give him a chance to say something before we go off the air. Elder Kerry, man of God, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Pastor. God bless you, sir. I appreciate you, and I thank God for that word tonight because last Saturday night, Lord dropped a word in my spirit that I preached with Reverend Rob him on forgiveness. And this message you talked about tonight, Psalm 37, fret not thyself, evil doors, goes hand in hand in that. And I just want to encourage the people to really reexamine this word and take it serious because at the end of the day, all of anything else that you do for God, if you don't have real forgiveness in your heart, then none of the rest of it matters, you know. I have to remind myself almost on a daily basis the words of Paul. When Paul said, he said, first of all, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil by good. But he also said, have thine anger and sin not. Let not the sun go down on thy wrath. These are the things we have to understand that these are for our good. This everything that this word is giving us, everything that Pastor, you're preaching tonight, is for our good. You know, like you said, when we give way to anger and wrath and things like that, what it does is it creates a root of bitterness in our spirit. And the only thing that can replace a root of bitterness is, of course, roots of love. So this is why we have to stay tuned. We have to stay tuned to the Word of God, to the Spirit of God, because, again, God, the Bible says that God is love and that we are children of that love. But if we can't exhibit it, it does us no good. If we can't exercise it, it does us no good, but rather harm. And I'm going to look at it, put it to you like this. When you allow people, when you allow yourself to become fretful of evildoers and you allow people to cause you to walk and function in anger, it's not holding them in bondage. It's holding you in bondage. And the only thing that's going to free you is to trust God enough to let them go by putting on God's spirit of love, the spirit of God and love, because it, particularly in this day and age, everything that's going on in this world affects us physically, but you know, it's up to us to whether we allow it or not to affect us spiritually. It can affect us physically and emotionally all day long. Because, you know, Jesus said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But it's our job by way of God's spirit to control our flesh. And that way we control our reactions. That way we control what we allow into our spirit. So, you know, that's a great word even for myself. I have to remind myself of these very scriptures often So I thank God for you tonight, Pastor. God bless you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. It's always good to hear what the man of God had. Oscar Walker, Apostle Oscar Walker, with us in the night. He had to kind of exit the system early. You know, he's got some things that he's working with, he's doing. We thank God for him as always. We had going to be out here this weekend. And my good friend's church, Pastor Pearson, down there in the city of Terrell, Texas, going to hang out with him. Doing a great work down there at Mount Olive Church of Terrell. So we're going to actually be hanging on him on Sunday. We're going to hear what the Word of God has to say. And then we're going to actually be with Dr. J.C. Matthews on the 5th. But now most of you looked on the internet station or my social network or whatever it may be. For those who contact me or follow me closely, know that we're going to actually be on it. It's going to be the following week. And which I think is a very good decision. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think we're going to be over there, him with the TBN Center in Irving. And it's going to be on that complex, him and his beautiful wife. For those who want to know more about Dr. J.C. Matthews, you can actually look him up at jcmatthews.org. For those who want to keep in tune with Oscar Walker, Apostle Oscar Walker, can do so. And I want to tell you about the God, man of God, Apostle Treadwell. Most of you see him teaching on the line. He's a very good friend of mine. He's always teaching on the prophetic, and he's doing a great work for the kingdom of God. So many things that God is doing. They got a nation network that's coming available with some of the friends out there in, I believe it's in Africa, Car of Ghana, Africa. You're going to start a nationwide network. I got to want to get in contact with those guys and see what that's all about. And they're inviting different preachers to come in. They're going to open up a nationwide station coming out of that area of one of those countries. I think it's Car or it's Ghana or one of those Lagos. And I know we're going to talk with them and get more information about that as we spread it and find out more about the work they're doing over there. It's truly a time in the body of Christ for us to be able to walk with the anointing and the power of God and the revelation, the illumination, to be able to preach the signs, wonders, and miracles. I don't have any problem with us teaching about different things in the body of Christ, but I'm telling you, teaching has to be. That's fine. But we got to come to a point now. We're going to have to really stand firm on the signs and the belief. We got to demonstrate through the power. We got to start the laying of hands and the curing of the sickness and disease. We got to really show ourselves to be able to do what God has called us to do. And this is so far-fetched to a lot of men of God in the body of Christ. You know, as I begin to, as I always have done, you know, most don't desire to speak, but, you know, I've been walking in apostolic for years. You know, my gifting and what I've been doing with these consecrated apostles for years. Now they have finally consecrated and moved me to the area. And they can't move me, but God has spoken through the Spirit. Now you're now walking in the office of your apostolic anointing. So a lot of you see the messages and see some of my titles and what we call a title. I don't like titles, but when God tells you to do something, you better do it. You know, you better wait for God to tell you. So now you see a lot of sense up. You see Apostle Charles E. Ellis. So that's one of the things God is doing. It's not having to do with any kind of titles, rank, because all the fivefold, if you understand, it's not about position. And whether you're a bishop, whether you're an apostle, whether you're a prophet, whether you're an evangelist, whether you're a pastor teacher, all the gifts in the body of Christ move together simultaneously. But sometimes in the body of Christ, we look at ourselves, we use the titles, exalt ourselves above other men. It has nothing to do with that. Paul was never called apostle at the beginning. He was called, your name would no longer be Saul, but it'll be Paul. It's the work that Paul did of the apostle. It's the work that you do as a pastor. It's the work as you do according to, he says, about shepherding the flock. It's the work that you do as a prophet. It's the work. The title doesn't hold rank in terms of yourself above anyone else. Not to think yourself a bit more high than you ought to think. But man must think soberly. As I said before, you got to be a lifeguard in the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter what your title is, what your position is. You got to learn how to be a lifeguard. When you're a lifeguard, you got to get out there and you got to be able to save everyone that's drowning. You can't drown anyone. You got to be able to reach out and help them and survive them, resuscitate them, get them back where they're supposed to be, that they may go out and save other people who's in critical conditions as well. That's why I said, you hear me in a lot of my services, the end of my services on Sunday, I tell you all the time, look here, now don't take this word to the hallways of your church. Just don't talk to your pastor friends. You need to get out there and get the witches, the warlock, the prostitutes, the dope dealers. That's where your anointing is going to work at. The Bible said the harvest is truly great, but the labor and the laborers are few. We got to go get the unsaved. Those who are already saved, they got the word in them. God's going to deal with them to the point that they're coming to obedience. But we got to get the ones who don't know the word, those who are out there slipping. The Bible says his worst desire that now one of us be lost, but all come to repentance of Christ. So this is what we have to do in the season which we're in. The mission field is a powerful field in the body of Christ and what we are dealing with now. It's not inside the walls of the church. It's not the oracle could teach it of one man in front of you, but the Bible in his hand saying to be something. It's not the title. It's for you to get out and do the work. Show yourself as doing the work. And then when you do the work, do a good work. Do a good work unto God. Stay in your lane. Run your race. Don't be in cahoots, but do the work of what God has called you to do, that you may know and understand that God said, you have stand the test of time. Now, welcome into the kingdom, my faithful and humble loving servant. We got to be able to stand that. It's always a pleasure for you guys to be with me. I thank God for you guys and all that we're doing here at Harvest Night Church. It's always a pleasure. But until then, I want you guys to be with me on Saturday morning for Fox and Sounds Report. As we kick off the Psalms report, we're going to be doing, as always, some great work doing the Word of Psalms. But to Elder Kerry Williams and all those who are out there listening in, and our other international team, God bless you. We love you guys for being so supportive, so committed. And some of my good friends who's traveling abroad, pray for them. Don't forget, on the 20th of this month, I'm going to make sure I recorrect the right. It's going to be the 21st of this month, I believe. You know, we got a positive feedback coming out with the our good friend Anthony Stredick, talking about some of the young things, some of the things that young people are talking about, what they're going through in the season, what they're in. Don't miss this segment. We got young men and young women of God who really need to get on this show and hear what's going on. You're going to find out, they're going to find out a lot, and there's a lot of stuff going to be taught to them on this show. Remember, we got positive feedback. Come up here right on Blog Talk Internet Radio, on actually our February this month. And we're looking forward to you guys to joining with us. Also, but that new team that's coming up out of Africa, that national network, we're looking to team up with them. They called for me over there, and I'm telling you, I want to get in contact with them and see just what God is doing in the season that we're in. So to each and every one of you, God bless you. We love you. To me, my beautiful wife here at Harvest Right Church and Powerhouse Radios, we thank God for you. And, hey, look, it's a blessing. God bless you guys.
There are days when I'm reminded of the prison I was in, like a living nightmare burning deep within. I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. See, once I taste the freedom, and the chains could bind no more, mercy gave me wings, like an eagle I could soar. This is how it feels to be free. This is my need to soar. I am here. Somewhere there's a prison where the chains still tie.